MacCast, Sunday, September 23rd, 2012. Hey, Mac Geeks, it's time for your MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geeks. I'm Adam, and this is the show where we discuss all things Macintosh. How you doing? Welcome back to the MacCast. Well, it's been a couple days since the iPhone 5 was released. I got my model on Friday. I think many of you did as well. And some of you out there may be wondering if it's worth upgrading. Should you upgrade? Are you going to upgrade? Or maybe this is going to be the first iPhone that you might dive in and buy. And in this episode today, we're going to get into some conversations with people who picked up the iPhone 5 on release day, actually reached out to the community this time around, did some online interviews, put out a tweet asking anybody in our little MacCast community who had picked up an iPhone to share their experiences with us, share their buying experiences and their first impressions. So we're going to get into a lot of that today. I'm also going to give you my first impressions on spending a few days with the new device, as well as we've got some information just from the community at large, some of the blogs and some of the things that the other folks have written about, and maybe some of the issues and things that are starting to crop up, as always happens when a new device comes out. So stay with us for all of that. But before we get into it, I do want to take a quick moment and thank one of our show sponsors. You know, look, stuff happens, right? I saw a friend today on Twitter who dropped his new iPhone in the toilet. Yes, it went for a swim. Or say you're the type of person that maybe, oh, I don't know who might do this, but the type of person who might leave their iPhone and their iPad on top of their car and then drive off. You know, accidents happen. The question is, will you be shelling out full price for a brand new device? Remember, you're not going to get that subsidized price again. You're going to have to pay full replacement cost. Or are you going to be protected for these little sort of oops moments that happen in life? And if you've got a SquareTrade warranty, you're going to be covered for exactly these types of incidents. SquareTrade offers extended warranties that are going to cover you for drop damage. They're going to cover you for water damage, including full immersion, which a lot of coverage plans don't cover you for the type of situation where the phone goes completely underwater. That's not always covered on all plans. You got to check your fine print, but SquareTrade covers that exact situation. So their coverage is very affordable. Typically, if you're going to try and go through your carrier, a lot of people go for those types of plans. It's $10 a month, but you're going to be paying for the full life of your contract. So 2 years, $240 or so by the end of your contract, that's a lot of money. SquareTrade offers 2 years of coverage for just $124. And right now, if you sign up, you can use the MacCast link, and it's just $99 for that new iPhone 5. So you can go to squaretrade.com/MacCast and get that deal, get your coverage. And they also cover other devices. So if you want to cover your iPad, your laptops, your cameras, your TVs, your appliances, they have plans for those things as well. You can check it out all on their website. So go to squaretrade.com/MacCast and check it out. And a big thank you to them for their support of the MacCast. So I've had about 2 days with the iPhone 5 now. I actually got it Friday morning, but spent most of that day doing interviews and also doing my unboxing photographs and video, which are actually up on the MacCast Facebook page at facebook.com/themacCast. If you want to check them out, I took a bunch of photos as well as did a quick little video. And you know, I have to say, I really like the new device. It's not, I wouldn't call it a huge upgrade. If you have a 4S, you still have a very nice device. Even the 4, you know, it's a bunch of great improvements and enhancements. The speed is impressive, but again, everything to me ends up being pretty relative. It feels faster, it feels snappier. Is it quantum leaps forward? The benchmarks sort of show that it is. But in actual real-world usage, it's, you know, better. It, yeah, you know, milliseconds, when you start getting into the range of it's a fractions of a second faster at doing certain operations, I don't know for the average person if that really makes a huge difference. There are some areas, some specific areas, I would imagine, certain applications, image processing stuff, the photography apps where a little bit more speed or even a lot more speed is going to make a huge difference. Gaming might be another area where there are going to be some big differences between the 4 and the 5. But for most operations, day-to-day usage, I don't think it's going to make a massive amount of difference. The look and feel is definitely a big improvement over the last generation. The fact that it's thinner, the fact that it's lighter, it really feels good in your hand. Not that the last one didn't, but this one, just there's something about it as I'm holding it. The thinness, the lightness makes it really that much more comfortable, that much more easy to use. The larger screen, the extra real estate is nice for certain applications, especially anything where you're reading a lot of text. It just opens it up a little bit more. So web browsing, or like when I was in Reader going through my news feeds and things like that, it's nice to have a little bit of extra real estate. You know, 176 pixels is what I think it is. It's not like a huge amount more, but it does make a difference. I was able to consolidate a whole extra screen of app icons, or more specifically folders, down onto just one less screen. So I was able to get rid of a whole screen of applications because of the extra row of icons, and because each folder can now hold, I think, 16 icons versus 12, or 16 apps versus 12 apps. So that was really nice. I will say that the size stretches the limit of my thumb range. So when I'm using it in one hand, I did kind of have to reorient it. You have to slide your hand up a little bit more, or I did, in terms of how I would normally hold my phone. And it's a pretty good stretch to get up to the upper left-hand corner. I'm right-handed, so getting up into that upper left-hand corner, you stretch a bit to get up there, but you certainly can make it. It's not undoable. One-handed operation works pretty well for me, but after a while, if you're really using it a lot, it can get a little bit uncomfortable to use in one hand. So I find myself switching to the whole palm and use the index finger sort of technique, so throwing it into my left hand. But definitely you can use it in one hand, and I'm not so sure with a 4.5 or a 5-inch device, some of the competitive devices that are wider, that would really be possible. The overall construction of the device is unbelievable. The fit and finish on this thing, just everything feels more refined, nice and smooth. Not that the iPhone 4, the 4S, wasn't a nice refined device, but they've somehow managed to step it up a level that, you know, camphored edge, the way the inlays are put into place, everything just seems to be locked tight into place. Nothing about this feels cheap, even with the extra lightness. I know some people have commented that it's almost getting to the point where it's too light, where it's going to feel a little bit cheap. To me, it doesn't feel like that at all. The anodized aluminum on the back is just wonderful to the touch. I really, really like the design of the new device. And I wasn't so sure at first. Even the two-tone thing, I'm still not a huge fan of that. I wish it was a little more seamless in terms of the back material. It would have been almost nice, in my opinion, if the whole thing could have been metal. I don't know if there was some antenna issues related to that. Probably some radio transparency with wrapping the whole thing in aluminum. But because it's so smooth as you transition from one material to the other, it's really not that noticeable. So you can take a look at my images and see what you think about that. LTE, you know, I was very excited about being able to upgrade to the LTE. I had sort of hem and hawed about whether or not I was going to stick with AT&T, if I was going to go with a pay-as-you-go plan, as you know, on Straight Talk Wireless. I think you can only get the 4G HSPA Plus with them, so I decided to kind of stick with AT&T, also for some other reasons, just how I upgrade my phones and some of the other plans. The way it worked out, I wasn't really going to save that much money, and I really wanted to be able to test out the LTE. And I got it in here, and right day one, I fired it up, and I did not have LTE at my house. So what I've learned is that LTE and the speeds that you get and the performance that you get seem to be a factor of location, location, location. It seems to matter a lot, at least on the AT&T network. I haven't been able to test out the Verizon network yet, but I'm kind of following along and seeing what's going on there. If you're on Verizon, I'd love to hear you share some of your, actually, Verizon or AT&T, I'd love to have any of you share your experiences with LTE. But there seems to be wide variances in terms of the speeds that you get. So when I finally was in an LTE LTE area. I used the speedtest.net app and tried it out from a bunch of different places around my area. And I found that I would get speeds ranging from 6 megabits down and 3 megabits up, megabits per second, up to, at one point I got, believe it or not, 42.6 megabits down and 21.1 megabits per second up, which just, I mean, that blows away my cable modem, and I get pretty good speeds on my cable modem. On average, my cable modem, I'll get 20 to 25 megabits per second down and maybe 5 megabits per second up. So LTE is blowing that away. Now, the thing about it is this range from 6 to 25 down and from 3 to 21 up, that was all within the same LTE city. So I'm in a AT&T LTE city. I was just in different locations around the city, and in many instances, I was within probably 1 to 2 square miles of the same spot. So, dependent upon where I was, there was wide variances in the amount of speed that I was getting. And then, oddly enough, so on Friday, I had no LTE coverage. I called up AT&T and asked them about it. They said, well, you're in an LTE city, but dependent upon what part you're in, you may or may not, depending on how good your signal is, you might or may or may not get LTE. And so I was a little bit bummed about that. Well, today, Sunday, I suddenly had LTE. So I don't know if they're out servicing equipment or what they're doing, but I had LTE and I was able to test that, and I kind of ended up in the middle. I had what I'm going to call the moderate version of LTE. So I got 14 megabits per second down and 9 megabits per second up, which is still really nice. I mean, that's on average, HSPA Plus, the 4G network I was on with AT&T, I almost always got 3 megabits per second down and 1 megabit per second up. So, you know, I'm 4 or 5 times faster than I was with HSPA Plus, and who can complain about that, really? I mean, even the slowest version at 6 megabits per second down, I'd be doubling my 4G HSPA Plus speeds. So, very impressed by LTE, as long as you can get it. The one thing that I had read about and seems to be holding true based on some of the reports that I've been getting is that while Verizon seems to have availability of LTE in more cities, their speeds seem to be more in that 9 to 20 megabit per second range, where I've only seen the sort of extreme 30 megabit, 40 megabit per second downloads from AT&T. Now, again, it's early, and I've only seen a few reports, so I could be off on that. I'd love to hear, again, reports of different speeds that people are getting in different cities. Maybe we can do a little unofficial Apple Maccast poll and find out where the best places for LTE in terms of download speeds and which networks are offering best downloads. So AT&T, Sprint, Verizon, who's getting sort of the fastest LTE speeds? I'd be very curious to find that out. Scratchgate. Let's talk a little bit about what's being called Scratchgate. Almost immediately on Friday after the devices were coming out, there were some early reports of some people even opening the box on their iPhone and having little scratches generally along that chamfered edge. And I'm sorry, is it chamfered or chamfered? It's C-H, so maybe it's chamfered. I don't know. I'm not French. I think it's a French word. Let's go with chamfered edge. It seems to be that chamfered edge that's kind of susceptible to getting scratches or damage, and more so it seems like on the black models. And I experienced this firsthand because last night I was coming back from a party we were at, and I inadvertently, I had my iPhone in my pocket, and I usually keep my iPhone in one pocket and then my keys and coins and everything else in another pocket. I accidentally put my keys into the same pocket as my iPhone and didn't realize it for about 1 or 2 minutes. It wasn't in there very long, and I was just walking around my house at home, and I pulled the iPhone out when I realized what had gone on, and sure enough, I had these little scratches along the one edge, the left edge on the back. And I actually posted some images online, so if you want to see what this looks like, very minor stuff. In the images that I posted, it looks more extreme because I used a macro lens and I got in pretty tight. But really, they're not, well, they're noticeable. You definitely can see them, but they're not really large. They're just these little nicks along that edge. And the images are up on the Facebook page at facebook.com/themaccast if you want to take a look. And what it really seems to be is that the chamfered edge on the black model is painted. On the white model, that that doesn't seem to be as susceptible to this problem, they just create that edge by sort of diamond cutting or diamond sanding that bevel into the phone. And on the white models, they leave it silver. But on the black model, it looks like they add some sort of paint or some sort of coating to it. And it seems to be that coating that's coming off too easily. So it may be a fact that Apple has not figured out a way to adhere that on or sort of protect it. And they're probably going to have to fix that somehow in manufacturing. I imagine now that they're getting these reports, because it really just doesn't look nice. It kind of detracts from the design a little bit. So I think they're going to address it. They're probably going to have to go back to manufacturing, figure out how to get it to better adhere or be a harder sort of coating that's on there that's less susceptible to the scratching. But it does seem to come off too easily. And that's what happened. And I have faith that they'll probably resolve it. I don't know what they're going to do for owners of early models that have had this issue. I've heard some reports that if you go into the Apple Store, they might take care of you. But really, even if they swapped your phone out at this point, you're likely to have a device with the same problem. So for me, what I ended up doing is this is going to be the first phone that I've actually used a case on. I went out today and I got just a simple shell case. I ended up with one from Signet, and it's very thin, doesn't offer a ton of protection, but it will protect that back edge until maybe Apple can do something about it, and then I may try and go in and have them swap it out. But I'll have to just keep my ear to the blogs and figure out when they've sort of addressed the issue. Now, really good news is that some early drop test videos started surfacing over the weekend, and it seems like the iPhone 5 might be the most durable iPhone we've seen yet. They did some significant drop tests. I saw iFixYourEye did one with 9to5 Mac, and there was another one that was done by, I think, an Android site where they were comparing the iPhone 5 to the Galaxy S3, and the iPhone just blew away the S3 in terms of surviving the drop test, specifically related to the screen. The screen seemed to take a lot of abuse and not crack, which is very much not like the iPhone 4 or the 4S, especially the back glass too. So now that you have a metal back, that's obviously not as much of an issue. And the front glass seems to be somehow more durable in this model, at least from these early drop tests. The metal doesn't fare very well. It gets pretty dinged up. It gets pretty scratched up, but that's much more preferable to a piece of cracked glass on your device. So that is good news on the durability front for the new model. So let's talk a little bit about the battery. My battery experience so far has not been the best. It's still really too early to tell. I want to go through a couple charging cycles before I really make a judgment call. But for me, the battery seems to run down pretty quickly. I'd seen some reports online of sites saying that they're getting great battery life. I've put mine through now 2 full cycles in the 2 days I've been using it, so not too bad, but it definitely seems to run down more when I'm not using it. So sort of the time that it's not being used, the battery seems to keep draining and not really staying up the way it used to with my 4S. Now, I don't know if this is a factor of maybe the LTE running in the background for things like background notifications and downloading email and stuff like that. It does seem that when I'm running purely on LTE, and I was doing this a lot when I was doing my speed tests, that running on LTE and doing heavy downloading seems to really drain the battery very quickly. Again, I don't have a lot of hard evidence. I haven't done a lot of testing, but it just seemed like I would draw down the battery percentage pretty quickly when I was doing those tests. And it also seems a little bit like an issue that I've noticed in the past with new devices, where right when it's released, the algorithm seems to be a little bit off in terms of the algorithm that's used to display how much battery is used, how much battery is left, that battery percentage. It seems to draw down much more quickly on the front end. So I'll charge it up to 100%, and then within the first few hours, for 6 hours, it's pulling the battery down very, very quickly, down to 50%, down to 30%. As a matter of fact, last night I went to bed, it had 60% battery life, and when I woke up, it was about at 30%. So just overnight, it had dropped 30% of battery, and I wasn't even really using the device. But then I decided I'm not going to recharge it. Normally, when it gets that low, I'd recharge it right away. I decided I'm not going to recharge it. I'm going to go ahead and use it for the day and see how far it gets me. Well, I was able to go with 30% battery all the way until about 2:30. So from 8 a.m. to 2:30 in the afternoon, and I only lost about another 20% of battery life. It ran down to about 10%. So that says to me that Apple may need to just tweak the display algorithm a little bit, and it might not be so much that it's actually the battery not lasting the stated number of hours. It just might be that the display of what the battery is doing is not quite accurate. So we'll have to see. I have to wait a little bit of time on that. But that was sort of my experience on battery so far. The camera, you know, the camera's not a lot different in terms of the optics, in terms of the specifications. But where I think the camera shines is in the software in the A6 chip. It definitely loads a lot faster. This is one of those areas where I think the speed of the device makes a difference. You can get into the camera app a lot quicker, get it up and running a lot quicker. You can kind of take shots almost as fast as you can press the button. So if you want to take a series of shots, you can just keep tapping that thing and it'll just keep taking photos over and over again. And the low light performance seems to be vastly improved. It's not as grainy. It also picks up a lot more light in low light situations, and you get a much better shot. So I was very impressed by that. The other thing that I tried out was the new EarPods, the earphones. I do like the fit a lot better than the old earbuds. They're much more comfortable than the old ones, but I don't know that they're as good as, say, a pair of really form-fitting earbuds that you might buy, or something that has the little soft gel inserts. Those are still going to be much more comfortable, again, because they're not the hard plastic. These EarPods are still a hard plastic. They fit in your ear a lot nicer, but, you know, at $30, what can you really expect? Or free in this case. I mean, they're included with the device, so not technically free. But since they're thrown in there, the thrown-in earbuds, they are vastly improved over what Apple was shipping before. And the sound quality, to me, it sounded definitely a lot fuller, a lot more brightness, a lot more bass in the sound, just more balanced across the board. On the bass side, it almost seemed like there might be too much bass. I'm not a huge fan of a lot of bass. If you like really bassy sounds, you're going to probably like these new EarPods quite a bit. And the little case that they come with is a nice little add-on. It's a little bonus. I will say that I had a little bit of a hard time opening the case. It was kind of hard to get into. And putting the EarPods back in can be a little bit tricky, especially with the cable. You kind of have to get it wrapped just right. So I wish that was a little bit easier, just for day-to-day usage of the case. But overall, a nice package, and I really like the new EarPods. So those are sort of some of my impressions. Some of the news that's come out recently about the new iPhone 5, some things that you may or may not have heard yet. The Verizon version seems to be SIM unlocked right out of the box. So it used to be in the past, Verizon would unlock your device, I think after 60 or 90 days. I don't remember. I think it was about after 60 days. If your account was in good standing, you can go back to them and get them to SIM unlock the tray. And so that would mean you could go, if you were traveling internationally, and get a GSM SIM and use that in another country. Verizon confirmed that it was unlocked. And I think also the Sprint version is also unlocked. And it even goes as far as, I think somebody did the situation where they grabbed a SIM from an iPhone 4S, cut it down to the nano size, put it in there, and confirmed that you could use an AT&T SIM in a Verizon phone and get it to work. Of course, you're going to be on contract, so there's not a lot of benefit in that case, but it definitely is a fully unlocked device. So that's kind of a bonus point for the Verizon version of the iPhone 5. And finally, we have more details on Apple's A6 chip. UBM Tech Insights and Anantech did some sleuthing. They were using some diffusion imaging to look at the different parts. And then I think Chipworks came in and did their thing with their whole microscopic imaging. And they turned up some additional details. Now, UBM Tech Insights and Anantech were able to confirm that the chip does have three GPU cores. They assume that Apple is using a PowerVR SGX 543 MP3 chip running at 266 megahertz. They also confirm that there's dual general purpose ARM cores in there. They're using two 32-bit LPDDR2 memory channels. So the memory looks to be confirmed as 1 gigabyte of 1066 megahertz DDR RAM in there. So that's a bump up, doubling the RAM from the prior model. And the A6 does seem to be a 1 gigahertz dual-core custom chip completely designed by Apple and created by Apple. So it's not an ARM Cortex A9 design. It's not an A15 design. It's something that Apple did themselves, something that is ARM V7S compatible. So it runs the ARM instruction set stuff, but is not a chip that was developed by ARM. It's all Apple, all inside. So that's kind of cool. This is the first chip that Apple's done on their own. And then Chipworks was able to take a look at some of the imaging chips, some of the stuff that runs the EyeSight and the camera, and confirm that the EyeSight is an OmniVision sensor. So that's manufactured and made by OmniVision. The 8-megapixel front-facing camera, again, is a camera developed by Sony, and that's what Apple's used in the prior generation models. So those have been confirmed. And as far as how the chips are performing, performance benchmarks seem to be phenomenal for this chip. They show that the A6 is just completely smoking in terms of clock performance, in terms of just sheer benchmark numbers, smoking the old iPhone A5 chip. And also is doing a pretty good number on some of even the latest Android phones, even running at higher clock speeds. So Apple's definitely got a winner on their hands. And the fact that they can tweak the software and really optimize things for this chip, I think, gives them another leg up. So definitely the iPhone 5 is no slouch in terms of performance, and you're not going to feel it when you're using it day to day. And I think that, again, I think I talked about this, I think Apple is very smart to not be playing the whole megahertz game. You know, we've got dual cores or quad cores. They're showing it really doesn't matter. If you tune and match the processors and the graphics chips to the hardware, to the software, you can eke incredible real world performance. And that's, at the end of the day, what's going to matter to most consumers. Is my phone fast? Is the scrolling fluid? Do games look great? Does it do great image processing? And Apple has done that across the board with this phone. So I think all the reviews that are coming in are very, very positive, even with a few little negatives, things like Scratchgate. I hate these words that they come up with. I think it was iFixit that coined that one. And it's a little play on the AntennaGate thing. So I think it's a little tongue-in-cheek when they're saying it. But, you know, it does seem, my experience, I had mine scratched, so I think that's a valid complaint, but I think it's something that Apple will also come back and address pretty quickly, and it's very likely that future models, if you've held off or you're holding off for your upgrade, you may not be affected by it. So all in all, I'm loving my new iPhone 5. So let's in a minute get into some of the interviews that I did with MacCast listeners, find out what you thought about the iPhone 5 and how your experiences went. Before we get into that, I do want to take a quick moment and thank another one of our show sponsors, and that's Smile. I want to talk to you today about Text Expander 4. You know, I literally, at this point, I don't think I could do the MacCast without Text Expander. It is literally a time saver. They actually have a little statistics window in the application that you can bring up, and I pulled mine up and I saw that I've now saved typing over 650,000 characters, and that translates into about 27 hours of typing time. And that's actually at a faster typing rate than I actually type, so I probably saved more like 30, 40 hours of actual typing time. And every so often I'll get asked the same questions, and I need to respond to various requests with tips and tricks and things like that. So people send me in emails, and I find myself answering the same questions over and over again. So what I usually do is just add a snippet for that. Anytime I have a question that I found that I've been answering more than once, I'll create a little Text Expander snippet for it. And heck, I've even created snippets for things like friends will ask me about craft breweries. I live in San Diego, and we have a lot of great craft breweries here. I made a craft brewery list snippet, and I just add to that every time a new brewery opens up. And if someone asks me, hey, what breweries should I go check out? I can do a little snippet, and I have a full list with addresses and phone numbers and website URLs and everything built in there. And, you know, you don't have to make these things impersonal. A lot of times people worry, well, then everything I do is going to sound like a form letter. I want to sound it to be more personal than that. You can personalize it with fill-in forms. They have multiple options for variable content, so you can kind of mix and match as you go, little checkboxes to add this content or exclude that content at expansion time. So you hit your snippet, and then you can walk yourself through a process of creating a really customized message that doesn't feel canned. And that is a great feature. And then they also have Text Expander Touch. So you can take your snippets with you onto iOS. And because they have a great API, they've integrated with over 140 apps. So they've kind of worked around the issues where you can't have a background process running. Well, Text Expander is embedded in 140 different applications. So chances are the text app that you use on your iPhone probably has Text Expander Touch technology built into it, and you can use all your snippets over there without issues. So it's great stuff. Of course, they have a ton of other great applications. You should definitely check out PDF Pen and all the great apps that Smile makes. You can get more information and details over at smilesoftware.com, and a huge thank you to them for their support of the MacCast. Now, before we dive into the interviews, I do have a quick little tip for you about getting your podcasts back in the music app. Starting with iOS 6, Apple is really pushing that we use the new podcast app in iOS 6. And if you have moved to using the podcast app, you'll notice that podcasts are no longer inside the music app. Well, a couple people have written me to ask about smart playlists. A lot of you use smart playlists on your Mac in iTunes to sort of separate out different podcasts. Some people use it to categorize different podcasts into playlists and then sync those over to their device. Well, if you use the podcast app, that does not have playlist support in it yet. So a bunch of people wanted to know, can I get smart playlists back on my iOS 6 device somehow? And it turns out that yes, you can actually get podcasts back in the music app. And the little trick is that you have to not have the podcast app loaded on your device. So the trick to get it back, if you've already downloaded and installed the podcast app, what you can do is on your iOS device, you want to go in and you want to make sure that you quit out of the music and the podcast apps. You also need to make sure that they're not running in the background. So you need to double click the home button, then press and hold on the icons in the background apps for both the music and the podcast app, and then hit the little close box to close them. So they're not running in the background, they're not running on your device. And then you can go to the home screen and find the podcast app, click and hold it on the icon until it jiggles, and then tap the little close button or little X icon so that you delete the app from your device. Now it's going to ask you to confirm the delete, and note that when you delete podcasts, the app, all of the data is going to go along with it. Now, I think anything you've actually already downloaded in terms of shows is going to be retained, but I don't know that it's going to retain like whether or not you've listened to it or not, how far into it you are. I think they might all show back up as unlistened to podcast. I'm not positive on that, but I just be aware that data might go missing. So you might have to resync, or you might have to bring your podcast back over after doing this procedure. But once you've deleted the podcast app from your device, you can now relaunch the music app, and the podcast section should be back in the music app the way it was before. And you can now sync over your smart playlists and sync over your podcasts from your Mac onto your device and continue to use podcasts inside the music app. Now, the biggest downside to this trick is you're not going to be able to download more episodes or stream them directly on your device from the music app. When you try and go to get more episodes, because the get more episodes link is still there, it's going to tell you that podcasts have been moved to the podcast app and tell you to download the podcast app if you want to get at those. So they're not in the iTunes store anymore, available through the music app. So you can't stream, you can't download. You're going to have to sync from iTunes on your Mac, but it will continue to work. And I also have a little follow-up for those of you who have had issues with downloading the MacCast directly from the podcast app. As you know, I've been sort of trying to work with Apple, trying to figure out some of the issues. And the recommendation at this point is that if you're running iOS 6 and you're running the latest version of the podcast app, version 1.1, I believe, is the latest, then those downloads should be working for you. So if you're in that situation and you're still having issues, let me know. Shoot me an email, because we want to keep following up with them and let them know whether or not that issue has been fixed. A number of people are reporting that streaming seems to work just fine, that it seems to be downloads that are the issue. And very often it's downloads under iOS 5.1.1. Apple is saying you have to upgrade to iOS 6. If that's not an option for you, then I really still do recommend trying out one of the third-party apps, something like Downcast or Instacast, which will download the MacCast on your iOS device, and it works great. I love those applications. Actually, Downcast is my personal favorite, but Instacast is right in there as a very close second. So I know there's other ones out there that people like, but those are two of my favorites. So you can check those out if you've been having issues. So let's get to some of our launch day interviews. I did 5 interviews with different members of the MacCast community. It was a lot of fun. It was great to be able to get some impressions from folks on their sort of first day with the iPhone. So I hope you enjoy this. I'll be back at the end to close things out, but here's a bunch of interviews from the community. All right, Ken, so you're my first interview in these sort of virtual iPhone launch day interviews. I'm hanging out at home so that I can actually get mine this time around. So I didn't head out to the Apple stores to do my inline interviews. So thanks for agreeing. I put out the call on Skype. Thanks for agreeing to come on and talk to us about how it went for you today.
Sure. No problem.
So you're in Rhode Island, right?
Yes.
And so did you have the iPhone shipped to you, or did you have the iPhone? Did you go to the store?
No, I had it shipped to me. I did the pre-order. I got up at 3 a.m. Last Friday, considering we're 3 hours behind or ahead, actually, of the West Coast.
Right.
And the order process went well. It didn't really start until about 3:05, but I went right through it, had no problems at all.
And did you go through Apple's website? Did you go through the app? How did you end up doing it?
I did it through the website. And at the time, I saw a lot of the people saying that the app was much better to do it in, but I didn't have it installed, so I just waited till they came online.
Yeah, and it was about 5 minutes delayed, you said?
Yeah, it was about 5 minutes. I kept refreshing it. It said, you know, the store's still down. So.
Right. Well, that's not too bad. I mean, in years past, it was a little worse than that. I've had some pretty bad experiences ordering online, which is I used the app this year because I knew that had worked for people in past years, and I was in pretty immediately. It did seem to come up before the actual website did, but it sounds like this was smooth sailing on the ordering process.
Yeah, it absolutely was. I mean, it was the first time that I've ever pre-ordered one, so for the first time doing it, it actually went pretty well.
And which model did you end up going with?
I got the black 16 gigabyte.
And I guess follow up to that is: is this your first iPhone, or are you upgrading?
No, I had the 4, not the 4S. I had the 4, and I was having some issues with it anyway. It would reboot every once in a while, and the home button, of course, like everybody else's, was kind of flaky. So, and a lot of the iOS 6 stuff wasn't really compatible with the 4, so the upgrade to 5 was pretty much no-brainer for me.
And so you weren't on contract or anything like that?
No, I actually did pay full price.
Oh, okay, so you went with a fully unlocked.
Yeah, because my contract doesn't expire until January, but the bonus of paying full price is that I get to keep my grandfathered unlimited data.
Right. Oh, and so you must be on Verizon then.
Yes, yeah, I'm on Verizon. So I also get unlimited LTE as well. And I did get a chance to try that today, and it is unbelievable.
Oh, really?
it's fantastic.
Do you run any speed tests on it yet?
I haven't. I do have some speed test apps that I haven't put on my phone yet, but I was with a friend showing him my phone, and I'm a sports photographer, so I was showing him some of my pictures, and Flickr usually takes forever on my 4.
Right.
And I just couldn't believe. I mean, I was looking at pictures within seconds. It was just amazing.
So LTE is significantly faster then, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a bonus, you know, that I'm one city over from Providence, and I can still get LTE at my house. So, but I have wireless here anyway, but just in case if wireless ever went down, you know, I was out and about today and LTE was everywhere that I went. So it was amazing.
That's going to be vastly improved, I would imagine.
Yes.
So I'm assuming there was no question that you were going to stick with Verizon because you have the unlimited data.
Yeah. And Verizon works best in my area anyway, so there would have been no reason to switch to AT&T.
Yeah, I had a lot of, you probably know from listening to the show, I had a lot of conflicts about what I was going to do carrier-wise, and I ended up sticking with AT&T for, you know, a lot of personal reasons or just things that were related to my account. But
yeah,
it's they kind of lock you in and they get you to stay. I'm grandfathered in on the unlimited too, and I keep holding on to it, although I don't know why, because I really don't go over those data limits. Do you find you would be running over their data limits if you weren't on the unlimited?
No, but I like the comfort of knowing that if ever I did. And my son, he's around 5 years old now, and he loves my iPad. But when we're out and about, he loves my phone, and I have Netflix on it and some other things where streaming video is good for him. And I just don't want to have to worry about having him not, you know, use it enough, you know, saying, hey, you know, let's not use it for a while because we're going over. I just like the comfort of knowing that I can just let him do what he wants to do and not worry about it.
Yeah. Any trouble with it arriving? Or it sounds like it arrived relatively early, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I'm 3 hours ahead of you, but they said delivery by 10:30, and they came at about 9:45.
Wow.
So nice. And the activation was perfect too. I just followed the menu prompts on the phone. It brought my number over to there, took the other one off my other one, and I was ready to go within less than 5 minutes.
Absolutely. No activation problems. Yeah. See, I got mine here and I haven't even hooked it up yet because I got to do some unboxing and that sort of stuff with it. But I was wondering if anybody was having issues with the activation process, but sounds like it's not a problem.
Yeah, no, it went very smooth. Couldn't have gone any smoother than it did.
So how was the out of the box experience then for you?
Well, I mean, it's much different than the 4. It feels really good. It's light, almost kind of like not where you think you would break it, but almost to that point. It's much lighter than the other one. I can feel that, even though it's not on paper, it's not that much lighter. It does feel like it.
Right.
I do like the idea of no glass on the back. But I did go to my Verizon store this morning and get a case for it. Wasn't really the case I wanted, but I'm too scared to have it without one. So I just bought one for now. And if something better comes along, I'll grab one. But for now, it's protected. And, you know, it's amazing. The screen is much brighter. The text is crisper. The extra real estate really helps, how it being longer with email, even Twitter and things like that. You just get to see more.
Does it feel bigger? I mean, overall or no?
No, it actually doesn't. You put it next to my iPhone 4 and it's really not that much bigger. I mean, the height of it doesn't bother me at all. And, you know, the width, of course, is the same. So it almost feels like the same phone.
Wow.
But
that's good.
Yeah, and even the apps that aren't ready for the length of the phone, even though they're cut off on the bottom and the top, you really can't tell, especially with the black one, because you got black everywhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm assuming that with the white one, it might show a little bit. But with the black phone, if I'm in an old app that's not stretched, it still looks perfect.
Yeah. On the getting the case thing, was any of that prompted by some of the reports we're hearing about scratching, and did you have any issues with that? I had a couple people tell me already that even out of the box they had some scratching issues.
Yeah, no, I did hear that, and I checked mine and it was fine. But I'm just one that I just like to have a case because it's in and out of my pocket, and you know, I just don't want to drop it. And
sure.
Plus with my 5-year-old, if he gets a hold of it, there's always that nervousness factor in there that he might drop it. So more just for protection of the whole phone. You know, it's going to wear out in time anyway. So,
right. Were there any specific features with the iPhone 5 that you were really looking forward to? So, like, once you got it out of the box and were playing with it, what were some of the first things you wanted to try out?
I guess I wanted to see, you know, what the hype was over the flyovers, which I really haven't had a chance to check out yet. And actually the LTE,
right,
with the speed of the browsing and everything. But, you know, even though it's been a few hours, I really still haven't gotten a chance to really just sit with it and use what I want to. But
right, I'm grabbing you pretty early in this process, so I appreciate you giving us your first impressions.
Sure. Sure. But I mean, so far it's great. I mean, I have some friends that still want to see it probably over the weekend. I'm actually going to take it on the road on Sunday. So I'll see where, you know, where I get high speed, where I don't, and just how it reacts. And I'll get to work out the camera,
right,
too. So
now were you being a photographer, I guess you're upgrading from the 4, so you get a camera upgrade in this one, right? Or was that the same camera? I can't.
Yeah. No, it's a 5 megapixel in the 4. So I definitely get an upgrade there.
So were you looking forward to that?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I like the iPhone, is because of the camera. Like everybody else, it's like the point and shoot that's in your pocket.
Right.
I'm not afraid to whip out the phone with my son if he's playing or something, or just wherever situation I'm in. I'm actually heading to the NASCAR races in New Hampshire this weekend. So even though I'm going to have my full equipment with me, if I want to just take my phone out and snap a quick picture, maybe send it to somebody, at least it's going to be, you know, something pretty decent.
Right. I guess last thing, was there anything that surprised you about it? Or did you kind of feel with all the hype and all the stuff that came out ahead of time, you kind of knew what to expect when it arrived today?
I kind of knew what to expect, but still, when you get it in your hand, you really don't know how amazing it is until you actually use it. I mean, the thing I guess that amazed me most is just the speed of the actual phone with opening and, you know, running the apps that I usually use. I can notice a definite difference in speed.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw some on the camera, you know, it seems like the camera shutter speed and stuff like that is maybe even be improved as well. So
yes, it is. Absolutely. I can attest to that. I did a test shot just outside of my house, and, you know, the shutter speed is light years ahead, and even opening the camera app itself.
Yeah. And that's really important for those moments, yeah. You know, like when you're just pulling it out and you want to get that picture, you know, a lot of times any kind of delay in getting the camera up and running, yeah, you can miss a shot. So
yeah, I'm used to, like, if my son's doing something or any of my family from someplace and I want to take a picture, I'll say, wait a minute, hold on, let me open this up. And then I got to wait. And even switching from video to, you know, the regular camera would take a while. And by that time, either the moment's gone or people get sick of waiting. And so, I mean, it's going to be a real bonus.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you so much for taking a few moments to chat with us and enjoy the new phone.
Yes, I will. Absolutely.
Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
Oh, doing very well.
Hey, thanks for agreeing to come on. Glenn, you're from MacTrast.com. You guys cover Apple and Mac news. I guess this is a pretty big day for you guys.
Oh, yeah. We've been following the iPhone 5 for months. It's been a really long time coming.
all through all the rumors, now we get to actually sit down and play with it. That's what I want to talk to you about a little bit. But first, you're in Utah, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So how has the buzz in Utah been? How have the lines been and stuff like that today?
It's been a big deal. I have some friends with the Invisible Shield guys. They're right there next to the Apple store at the mall.
Right.
Lines about twice as long as from the 4S last year. Some people camping out 3, even 4 days.
that's dedication for you. You know, I know that happens with these launches. It seems like the lines get bigger and it tends to be a bigger buzz when they do a big, a new redesign, a new form factor and stuff like that. So you weren't out in that craziness.
Oh, definitely not. Pre-order is the only way to go for me. I did the line thing once. It's about all I can handle.
I've done it a couple times. I like going out there. It's just, you got to get out there so early in the morning. But you know, the whole community aspect of it is a whole different experience. I think it's worth doing at least once.
Oh yeah, for sure. If you've never had the experience, I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, and Apple seems to take care of their customers when they're in line. Although I saw one store this time around where they had run the line through the parking garage. That's a little odd.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not place I'd want to be hanging out waiting. But generally they'll come out with coffee, they'll kind of, you know, make sure everybody's taken care of. I don't know, it's been a good experience, and I'd like just chatting with other Mac geeks, I mean, just like we're doing here. And I pre-ordered as well, so we're doing virtual line interviews this year because I was sitting here waiting for the UPS guy to come. He came. I have the phone. I just haven't had a chance to unbox it yet. But it sounds like you've had a little bit of time with yours.
Yeah, I've had a little bit of time to fiddle with it. This morning I got it about 4 hours ago, so I've had not a lot of time between posts and coverage. But.
Right, yeah, you're working today too, so I won't take up a whole bunch of your time. But so what was your, out of the box, very first impression of it?
First thing I noticed was just how incredibly light this feels. The 4S isn't heavy by any means, but boy, it's a brick in comparison.
Yeah. That seems to be the general consensus. The funny thing is, spec-wise, it's, not that much lighter. What do you think is contributing to that?
I think it's a lot of things. I think the materials themselves are a little bit different. The ratio of the material. So there's no glass on the back, for instance.
Right.
So the whole back casing is a lot lighter. And it's a bit taller. So I think the fact that it sits in your hand just a little differently also contributes to that.
Do you think there's some just perception going on there too, where it's not actually the weight difference you're feeling, but more the form factor?
I don't think so, actually, because I've tested a lot of smartphones, and usually I have a pretty objective sense from the first moment.
Uh-huh.
I think this actually is quite a bit lighter and easier to handle.
Does it have any impact on just the quality? Because a lot of times, things that feel heavier tend to seem or give the impression that they're, more well built or something like that. Whereas lighter things, sometimes our minds say, "Oh, this is cheaper." Any of that going on?
Absolutely not. I think Apple really pulled out all of the stops as far as quality is concerned. To look at this thing, it's just built with an incredible level of precision from the milled aluminum edges. It's still all metal and glass, no plastic to be seen anywhere. So
it doesn't give that cheap impression just because it's lighter.
No, absolutely high quality.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect it from Apple, but I got to ask, because you just wonder, because so many people are saying how light it feels and that sort of thing. How is the back material? We're getting some early reports of scratching and potential issues. Any concerns there? Have you had any issues with that?
I haven't. The people are calling this scuff gauge.
Scuff gauge.
I think is a bit odd. Pictures of people scratching it with pins and saying, "Now it's scratched."
Yeah. You took a nail to it. It scratched.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, not for daily usage, just like sliding it across a table or something like that, you wouldn't be concerned?
I don't think so. I did some kind of wimpy tests using a credit card in my fingernails and wasn't able to make any kind of impression on it at all. So
you're not going to run out and buy a case for it?
No, I actually use sunglass cases. I buy them in 10 packs. So just a nice soft cloth case that I can take the phone out and use a natural anytime I like, while still kind of protecting it from dirt and things.
Yeah, I'm not really a case guy either. Yeah, I think there's kind of two camps, and a lot of it is attitude. In my case, I expect a certain amount of wear and tear is going to happen on the phone. So I used to get obsessed about that stuff. I used to like want to keep it pristine, and I understand that. There's people who plan on reselling these things. They want to make sure they get the best resale value. So I think it's just one of those camps that you fall in.
Sure, absolutely.
So have you had a chance to try some other things out on it? What's the impression on the taller screen, maybe some of the other features that are in there?
I really like the taller screen. I didn't know how thrilled I was going to be with it at first, but I really like having an extra row of apps. I can really organize, I think, what I have better. And of course, I've got hundreds of apps like everybody else.
Right.
I haven't really used very many specific apps, except for Twitter. Twitter seems to handle it pretty nicely.
Twitter app's already been rebuilt for the taller screen?
It has, yeah.
Does it make a difference? I mean, is it an impressionable difference, or is it just like, there's more room or things are more spread out?
Yeah, you can just see a little bit more. What I was surprised at, though, is that the screen is still just as easy to use. I can still you know, reach all the way across it, use it one-handed. And I kind of worried about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, because I'll talk to other people and I'll see some of these other phones that are out there, the wider ones, the 4.5, 5-inch ones. And just my general impression, I've held a couple of them, they just feel really big to me. And I guess it's maybe because I'm a guy who wears jeans, and I like the fact that I could put my iPhone in my jeans pocket. And it just seems like with a, especially the 5-inch models, it's like, oh, there's no way I'm getting this in my pocket. And if I were a case person, good grief, you know? So I really appreciate that Apple didn't make it wider.
Yeah, you might as well cram an iPad in your jeans.
Yeah. I mean, it probably doesn't matter for someone who's, you know, if you have a purse or something like that, or some other place to put it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems like a nice compromise. It seems like we get more screen real estate, but still have that pocket ability. So I think I'm going to like that feature of it. That's never been one of those stats that I've been overly concerned about, that, you know, it's not a 5-inch screen.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I really liked the 3.5-inch screen for a long time. I really appreciate that they've made it taller instead of wider.
Yeah. What about the, do you think the processor's making any difference right out of the gate? Have you even had a chance to tell if it feels faster?
Oh, I think absolutely. It's kind of subjective. I haven't had time to do any comparisons, but, you know, scrolling between rows of apps, between your home screen and other things that you have, scrolling up and down in various apps, launching apps, it all seems a lot snappier. And booting is definitely faster. It boots in about half the time.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's the, you know, those are the kinds of things that make a difference. It seems like it wouldn't, because the 4S and even the 4 are still so good. I mean, they it's not like they feel sluggish compared to other devices or phones that I've played around with. But it, you know, every little bit of time that you save, I think, makes a difference.
They certainly feel sluggish after you've handled the iPhone 5.
Yeah, so you can't have both side by side. You know, it's all, a lot of this stuff is perception, right? And it's sort of like, what are you comparing it to? So kind of related to that, on the speed front of things, which carrier are you with, and have you had a chance to try out the LTE?
I'm with AT&T. They have really good LTE coverage where I'm at. I've been seeing download speeds of up to 30 meg, which is just amazing.
Wow. Yeah, that beats my cable connection. What about uploads?
It's kind of varied a lot. I've been getting between 5 and 15.
Wow. Again, you know, it's just like I have really good cable internet coverage, and I think I get between 20, 25 down and about 5 up. So, wow, yeah. I can't wait to try that part of things out. You wouldn't think that you know, just a change in cellular technology would be that huge of a jump, but I guess that was the promise of LTE, and we've kind of not had that for a year now. What do you think about that? Do you think Apple made the right choice in waiting on that, or should we have been bleeding edge the last iPhone?
No, Apple's never been about the bleeding edge of hardware. I think the selection of chips has made all the difference. Those first generation LTE chips used a lot more power, and they were also physically larger. I think the only way Apple could have possibly made a device this thin and light without sacrificing the battery was to wait. So I think they did the right thing.
Yeah. What do you think about the new lightning cable, the new docking cable?
You know, the first thing I thought when I took it out is the 30 pin could just swallow this thing whole. It's just tiny. but it's also extremely well built. I was comparing it against some micro USB cables that I have here in my office. And it's very obvious, the difference in build quality. It's like a solid piece of metal on the end instead of kind of a hollow, pinned out thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, there's some differences, too, that people forget about. You know, I think I read somewhere like micro USB has some limitations on how much power it can carry and stuff like that too. So it might not be able to charge, you know, when you're plugged into a wall adapter at the same rate that you could with a standard cable. I'm assuming it has still the USB adapter on the other end, so you can wall charge it and all that good stuff.
Yeah, that's right. You can still plug it into your Mac or wall charge it.
Cool. Cool. But now you got to get rid of all those old 30-pin cables, right?
Yeah, or fork out $30 for an adapter. Goodness sakes.
Do you think you'll get an adapter, or do you think you'll just move on?
I think I'm going to move on. I'm going to go wireless or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think this is the right time. The 30-pin's kind of seen its day and its age, and I think Apple's doing the right thing and moving on. They've never been afraid to sort of say, okay, this is the cutoff, and now we're moving on to the next thing.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's one thing that's important to note about the dock connector is that Apple didn't just do this because they wanted a new dock connector or to irritate their customers. iFixit did their teardown this morning, and they really don't like to see people change standards like that. But even they said there's just no possible way a 30-pin could fit inside this thing.
Yeah, to make it thinner and do all the things that Apple wanted to do. Any other sort of initial impressions on the few hours that you've gotten to play with it?
No, I think just overall, it's a very impressive device. Very precisely made, very high quality. The bigger screen and the faster processor definitely seem to make a difference. And I'm really excited to make it my next main phone.
Your next daily phone. Me too. I got to go get to unboxing mine. Well, thanks for taking a few moments out of your busy schedule. I know you guys are doing a lot of coverage over there. Tell everybody where they can follow what you guys are up to and how they can see what's going on over there.
Sure. They can head over to MacTrast.com. Or follow us on Twitter at MacTrast.
And that's MacTrast, right?
That's right.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate your time.
Sure thing.
Hey, Ian, how's it going?
It's going fine. Thanks, Adam. How are yourself?
Good. It's probably late for you now, I would imagine.
Yeah, just coming up for 10 o'clock at night. So it's not too late at the moment.
Yeah, especially for us geeks. You know, if you're like me, I stay up pretty late in the evening.
Yes, it does tend to start out that you're just going to nip on it for 10 minutes, and it never ends up that way.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're going to be our UK perspective. What I'm doing today is just talking to MacCast listeners and anybody who actually talked to me about how the iPhone 5 launch went. I normally would get out to the store to do some interviews, but I pre-ordered, like a lot of us did, and have been waiting around here. Well, I have my phone now, but had been waiting for the UPS guy. So I'm doing these virtual interviews, and it's good because we get to go globally. So thank you for being a part of this. So I'm assuming, did you pre-order or did you head to a store to get your iPhone?
I pre-ordered it on the day the pre-orders went live.
Yeah, and how did that go over there?
Pretty much like you reported in your show the other day, it was the site was absolutely completely dead. So I ended up having to order it through the store app.
Uh-huh.
And I'd probably got it ordered within the first half hour.
Wow. Yeah. So not too bad.
No, just one minor timeout. But other than that, it went pretty smoothly, actually.
And then did delivery go just as smoothly?
It did. Turned up today, half past 11 this morning.
Yeah.
By UPS, no problem at all.
Were you tracking it? Did they give you... what I've been noticing is they seem to have been giving pretty accurate times in terms of if you were tracking it.
I don't know if it's slightly different over here. UPS don't seem to give a time. It was just any time before the end of the day.
Ah, so it's nice that it turned up in the morning.
I knew it was on the van, but that was about it. So it was a waiting game to see whether it turned up at the beginning of the day or the end of the day.
Yeah, well... You got it earlier than later, so you've had a little bit of a chance to play with it, I assume.
I have, yes.
So, how did it go? Just that, what was the initial impression, sort of unboxing it, and I guess related to that, you're relatively new to the Mac, is that right? You were telling me you had some emails.
Yeah, I've had the Mac for probably about 18 months now, and it was a pretty quick upwards curve. I actually started off with the iPhone.
Okay.
I actually did the halo effect in the correct way. A friend of mine went the other way. You got the Mac, iPad, iPhone.
Ah, cool. Yeah. So you've had. So this is your. Is this an upgrade for you?
It is. Yes, I had the iPhone 4.
Okay. Cool. So just what were your first impressions in opening it?
When I opened the box, obviously the first impression, like a lot of people, probably was, that's thinner than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
I picked it out and I thought, nope, there's not a lot of foam there. That's going to slip out of my hand. But I was actually quite surprised with how it feels better in the hand and doesn't slide out compared to the 4 does.
Yeah, do you typically use a case, or are you a caseless person?
Normally I use a case, but at the minute, obviously, cases for the 5 are a bit hard to come by.
Sure, sure. Yeah, some of the early reports, I've been chatting with a couple other folks, and, you know, a lot of the early reports are the complaints, right? There's always the good that comes in, and then people have to kind of find, you know, where are the flaws with this. And one of the flaws that's being mentioned is potential that it may scratch more easily, or some people are even reporting they had scratches or have discovered scratches already on their device. So are you the type of person that concerns you, or just you figure it's wear and tear?
It's wear and tear. I've got a couple of reasonable scratches on my iPhone 4 screen as it happens, but I think this one with its aluminium back might be a little more durable than the iPhone 4.
Yeah, that's kind of my general opinion. I mean, certainly if you're going to drop it, if it falls on its back, it seems like it's going to fare better. You might have some dings and dents and scratches, but I'd prefer that to a total destroyed back.
Was it the iFixit teardown where they mentioned that it's the chamfered edge that people are concerned about getting scratched?
Yeah.
And they try, and it rubs off a little bit, but not too much, apparently.
Yeah, what do you think about just the overall design? I mean, what was your impressions regarding that? So you mentioned that thinness, but just the materials and the fit and finish. And
well, to be honest, I mean, going way back to when the rumors were first hitting,
yeah,
I wasn't all that impressed by it, to be honest.
Right.
But once I saw the keynote and thought, well, that looks better than I thought. So once it actually came out of the box, I thought, yeah, I actually like that design. The iPhone 4 is perfect for me. It's the right shape. You can make a decent call with it. It fits on the side of your head, right? Not like these big other ones that we won't name.
We can name them, but yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean. The Samsung,
yeah, the big and the 4 and 4.5 and 5-inch wide.
I've got the 6 on the way somewhere.
Yeah,
but yeah, the actual design of it, I've no problem with. It's perfectly functional, I think, is the phrase.
Yeah. How do the materials feel to you? Just in general, you're saying kind of actually feels better in your hand, like it's not going to slip out as easily?
I don't know what it is about the aluminium back, but it does seem to stay on the hand a bit better. I always felt with the iPhone 4 it was going to slide out of my grasp.
Yeah.
But there's something with this 5. It just feels like it fits a bit more snugly in the hand.
Yeah, a little bit more texture and things like that. So you mentioned the you know, the other phones with wider screens. Of course, this one's taller. Did it immediately feel different to you? Like, did the experience with the larger screen seem to make a difference right away, or is it something more subtle?
Surprisingly, it did. I think I've actually said to a couple of people in a couple of messages, that tiny little difference in screen size seems to make quite a lot of difference in experience. I can't put my finger on it. I can't explain it. But it just seems to make a lot more difference than you would expect it to make for such a small increase.
Yeah, a couple of people just mentioned, I think this is going to make a big deal for me, or any of us who have a lot of apps, is just an extra row on the home screen. For me, I'm going to be able to move up some more recently used folders that I have stuff in. So it's going to be one less swipe on the screen. And even although it seems minor, that little bit is going to, in a day-to-day usage pattern, just help, I think.
To be honest, I'm not quite as much of an app monster as some people, but probably means that nearly all my frequently used apps will all fit on the front screen now.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a couple pages? You know, I'm like one of those people that's got like 4 or 5 pages with folders. You know, it's crazy.
I've got about 4 or 5 pages, but not that many folders. But what I do tend to do is the ones I download, and I'll give that a try. Shift it to the end. Shift it to the end. Shift it to the end.
Yeah. So let me, so you ordered online. Did you order with a carrier contractor? It's a little bit different over there, right? How you guys purchase devices?
It is. I just ordered it direct from the Apple online store, which by default, it comes unlocked from there.
Okay. So
it was just a straight pardon me, sorry about that. It was just a straight purchase of the phone unlocked.
And so then what do you do SIM-wise? Like, were nano SIMs available? Did you have to pre-order one of those? Did you order it with the phone? How does that work?
because I was, I'm still actually in contract with my carrier. That's why I couldn't upgrade.
Right.
It was a case of going into one of the carrier stores, and they just swapped out the SIM card last week, actually last Saturday, gave me the nano SIM with an adapter, and I've been using the nano SIM in the iPhone 4 for the last week.
Oh wow, cool! And which carrier are you with over there?
That's three okay. UK.
Okay. And you've been happy with them, and they're going to be able to provide you pretty good coverage with the new phone?
Yeah, same coverage as I've had with the iPhone 4. Uh-huh. I believe they might be rolling out a bit of 4G early next year.
Okay. Just straight 4G or LTE?
Now, there's the question.
Right.
I suppose it could be LTE because it's part of the Everything Everywhere spectrum that I know you've heard about.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There's a rumor that they're going to be using some of that spectrum, so I'm guessing it's going to be LTE.
Oh, that would be good news. That would be good news for you. But, you know, it's one of those things because I hemmed and hawed about, do I get a pay-as-you-go one? And the one carrier where I could sort of do the unlocked pay-as-you-go thing here is just AT&T. They use AT&T's 4G network, which is what I have with my iPhone 4S. And, you know, frankly, it's plenty fast, but I've done a couple of interviews now and people are telling me, oh yeah, I did speed tests on the LTE and I'm getting 25, 30 megabit downloads. And I'm going, oh, that sounds really nice because I get about three now.
The one thing, it really does sound good. I mean, I'm working on 100 megabits on my home connection.
Right.
But I always wonder, what are people doing when they're out mobile to need these sort of speeds?
Exactly. You know, as more things like, you know, the Apple Maps are pretty big. You know, there's more and more things. So video, obviously, if you're not unlimited, that gets a little bit dicey. But yeah, I don't know. I guess forward progress is always good, but It really does come down to what do you need, what do you use your phone for, too. I think it's kind of a personal thing. It'll be nice. I think we'll all have 4G and LTE and stuff in a certain respect, whether it's with this phone or the next one. But, you know, I think in that regard, Apple was somewhat smart in waiting and not jumping the gun on it. Because obviously, even still now today, you don't have wide availability of that spectrum. And I know even over in the UK and in EU and stuff like that, it's even a little bit trickier from the people that I've been talking to in terms of how the spectrum's broken up.
And at the minute, certainly as far as the LTE 4G goes, it's non-existent, and the rest of it just hasn't even been sold off to the carriers yet.
Yeah. So how's it been just using it now with apps, and have you tried both apps that have been optimized and not optimized, and what's that experience been like for you?
I have. I've tried a couple of different apps. I was quite surprised when I opened Apple's own App Store mm-hmm. app to find that it wasn't optimized for the screen yet.
Right.
But to be honest, I'm not finding those black bars too much of an issue.
Yeah. Again, it's not that many pixels. So when you divide it half and half on either side, I think it's not going to be hugely noticeable. I haven't tried mine out yet because I still got to do my unboxing videos and photos and stuff like that. And I've been doing these interviews, so I'm kind of chomping at the bit, but I'm holding off just
you'll
a little bit.
You'll get it to the box yet.
I want to try out that 4G stuff too. So any other things that surprised you or that you had a chance to play around with that you're enjoying on the new one versus your existing phone?
Well, I was surprised about the size of the Lightning connector for a start.
Uh-huh.
That was a lot smaller than I expected it to be.
Yeah, the thing looks tiny.
I've got a horrible feeling some people might be going to Apple stores with that thing snapped off inside the phone, to be honest.
You know, somebody was saying, though, it feels very sturdy and very well built. Like, it's not flimsy as opposed to, say, like a lot of the micro USB cables that you get these days are so cheap and just kind of almost feel like throwaway, and someone was saying Apple's really done some good.
Damaged one of those.
Huh?
I actually damaged one of the micro USB ones.
Yeah, I've done that before too. You know, it's just like trying to get it in there or get it out. It's very easy to do, and so just because I haven't actually looked at the cable yet. Do you think there is a chance that sort of thing could happen, or is it just because it's so small it feels like it might be delicate?
When I put the cable in for the first time, I actually tried flexing it slightly on the connection, And I think if it's in a cradle, for example, in a windscreen, and if someone pulls on the cable the wrong way, I think it could potentially snap.
Good point. Good point. Yeah, because it could just kind of stick out there. It's not like it's going into something.
If you try and disconnect it rather than pulling it straight down, if you just pull it forward a bit first, you know, it could put a bit of strain on it. I might be worrying unnecessarily, but it's just...
No, it's a good point. I mean, it's an observation, and that's kind of where we're at this point. I mean, no one really knows a whole lot. We've only had these things for a few hours. You're a little bit ahead of us here in the States, so you've had a little bit longer, but that's, I mean, it's a valid point.
Battery life seems to be doing okay at the moment.
Oh, that's a good point too. Yeah. I'm assuming it came charged. Did you top it up when you first got it?
I did. As soon as I got it, I plugged it in on charge. So it came off charge, what, maybe about 10 hours ago now.
Mm-hmm.
It's had a very brief top up when I hooked it up to the Mac just to couple it up to iTunes, so only a few minutes. And it's currently still sitting on 60%.
That's nice. Yeah, that's
and
good news.
You know, I've been using, and obviously it being new, I've been using it quite a bit more than I would have been using the 4 maybe.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if there's a huge performance difference between running it on, you know, 4G, 3G networks versus LTE networks. I'd be curious to see those stats when they come in, but that's good. Did you get to play around with camera or apps, or did you notice any kind of speed difference? Just, you know, maybe showing off some of the performance of the A6?
There's quite a bit of a difference in launching, particularly the camera app. I've not had a chance to try too many yet, but I was up to, 5-6 seconds sometimes just to launch the camera app on the iPhone 4.
Yeah, it can be a little slow, which you don't want.
This is just virtually instantaneous in comparison.
Very cool.
I tried the panorama on just inside the house earlier on. It was, you know, pretty low light, and it didn't do a bad job. Didn't do a bad job at all.
Yeah, that's the other thing I've been hearing is that the low light performance is improved, even though the camera itself is pretty much the same internals.
It's smaller, like, isn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like they're doing some other stuff probably in the processor to help that out. Well, very cool, Ian. Thanks for taking some time to chat with us, and definitely enjoy the new iPhone.
I intend to, Adam, and it's good to speak to you.
Hey, Michael, how you doing?
Great. Great.
Thanks for coming on the MacCast and doing our little sort of virtual iPhone launch day line interview thing. I guess, though, most of us probably didn't stand in line. Did you stand in line, or did you pre-order?
I have not darkened the door of an iPhone, of an Apple store in a little bit, actually. No, I pre-ordered. I got it from the Apple website, you know, in the wee hours of Friday morning there.
Right, yeah, like a lot of us.
Yep.
Although you a little more in the wee hours, right? Are you in New York area? Is that right?
I'm in Boston.
Oh, Boston. Okay.
Yeah, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning when I was finally able to get on and do stuff. Interestingly enough, I wasn't able to get the 30-pin connector. That was already sold out, apparently.
Oh, the adapter. Yeah.
Adapter.
That thing's not the most beautiful thing on the planet. I'm kind of questioning how handy it might be for most people. I don't know.
Yeah, I may not get one. I don't know yet, but, you know, it'll be for the car if I get it.
Right.
More than anything else.
Oh, yeah. So you have the kind of thing where you already have a 30-pin connector in your car, and then you could just talk and go.
I have the 30-pin connector that I added to my car, and I've had it for years. It worked with my 3GS just fine, and it still worked with my 4 for the last couple of years.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how many of those things are using digital versus analog audio, because I think some of the pins aren't there for the analog stuff. So we'll have to see how that goes. Hopefully that works out for most people and it's just a legacy problem. But so you were at work, I think, all day, most of the day, but you had it delivered to your house. Do you have somebody there to sign for it for you, or did they just drop it, or?
Yep, no, my wife is here.
Oh, okay, good. Because I don't think they were dropping them. It sounded like if you ordered from AT&T, they would drop and leave them, but Apple, you know, makes you sign for it. But regardless, you got home, you got a hold of it, so have you had much time to play around with it yet?
I've activated it. I've spent most of the last 3 hours copying data over to it via iTunes.
Any issues with the activation process?
Activation was okay. It took a couple tries because I wasn't sure if it was going to do it on Wi-Fi or LTE. I was about to say 3G.
Right.
But no, it got it just fine.
Okay. Let's start with the... I want to kind of... I've been starting with the hardware with everybody, just the unboxing experience. Yeah. How was that for you this time around?
This thing is great. You know what surprised me the most?
No. But I'm hoping you'll tell us.
Sorry. It's thin. I mean, okay, yes, I know it's the same thickness as the other one.
Right.
But because it's taller, it's kind of like an optical illusion. It feels thinner in my hand because it's taller.
Yeah. Well, it actually is thinner. It's about 30% thinner or something like that. I don't have the numbers in front of you, but because the glass is more flush, it is actually thinner.
I mean narrower.
Oh, okay. You're talking about width. Yeah.
Yeah. It actually feels narrow, even though it isn't.
It isn't narrow. No. But, yeah. So, interesting. You're the first person I've had say that, but I haven't held mine too much. I've been prepping and taking photos and doing my unboxing video. I haven't even activated mine, and I've had it since 9:30 this morning, believe it or not. So I've been doing interviews and I've been working. When you work on this stuff, I guess you don't get to play with it too much. So that's interesting. So it immediately felt like it was almost narrower because of the optical illusion of it just being taller.
Yes.
I could see that. I could definitely see that.
I mean, I held it up and it's definitely the same height, you know. I mean width.
Yeah, now are you upgrading from a 4S or a 4?
From a 4.
Okay.
My wife has the 4S and I went from a 4. What's a challenge for me is that my 4 is jailbroken.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I had the folder enhancer on there.
Sure.
So all my apps are totally, it's like total chaos as far as where my apps are. I've got like 10, 15, I just made 10, 15 different random folders filled with just random stuff. So it wouldn't be lost off the edge of the screen there.
Well, so let me ask you this. If you're a jailbreaker, so there was enough in this device for you to say, I'm gonna suffer until the new jailbreak comes along and I'm going to go ahead and work with this out of the box.
Yes. Yes, there was.
So what put you over the top on this one? Because I know, usually people who jailbreak are pretty passionate about what they get with their jailbreak and tend to not want to give it up. So what about this phone in particular?
Actually Siri and the keyboard, the voice keyboard,
right?
Be able to just hit a button and talk and have that, speech to text.
Right. Now, had you played around with that on your wife's 4S a bit? Did you get you probably got a little taste of it and like, yeah, yes. I want to have that feature.
More than once, I've borrowed her phone and say, remind me when we get home to do something, that kind of thing.
Yeah, those are some really nice features. So besides the sort of narrowness and the added length, anything immediate about the physical hardware that struck you when you opened it up?
The thing is gorgeous, of course,
Did you get the black or the white?
You got the black.
Yeah, I got the black too. I was really worried about this sort of two-tone back thing, but it blends pretty nicely. I mean, it's pretty seamless in most lighting. Occasionally, there's a drastic difference, but most of the time when you're holding it, you don't even notice. What'd you think about the feel of the texture of the metal back versus the glass?
I like it. I like it. Because the Apple logo is I guess different texture. It actually offers some resistance.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people had commented that it doesn't feel like it's really going to slip out, and some people worried about it. I figured it'd be a little less slippery than maybe the iPhone 4 or the 4S because the glass, just really doesn't give you a lot to grip onto, and at least you've got a little bit of tooth to that anodized finish. So just in using it and powering up and using it, have you noticed many differences, or is it pretty much feel the same? Do you feel right at home?
Well, I mean, it's right at home in that respect. I know the iPhone OS, or the iOS for years. I've been using it You know, we have 3G, 3GS, 4, 4S, and now a 5.
So you're like me. You've gone the straight path. Did you notice any differences with the height making an advantage or a disadvantage, or is it really kind of unnoticeable, the extra pixels?
It looks good. I haven't really done too much on it.
Because you're still loading apps.
Well, loading apps and moving apps into different folders and, you know, all these different random folders I got here. Happily, I can now fit 16 apps in a folder.
Yes, that's nice.
Of course, so with Folder Enhancer, I could fit a few more, but here we are. You know,
that's true. So you've been a phone user for a while. Are you AT&T, Verizon? Which carrier are you running with?
AT&T, grandfathered in on the unlimited plan. I've held on to that like anything because
now let me ask you this. Do you actually use that? Because I've found it, you know, I've had it and I've held on to it and held on to it. And most months I'm at, you know, a gig and a half. So I often wonder why I hold on to it.
Yeah. Most months I'm around there. I do every now and then go over 2 gigs. And there was one month when I had like 10 gigs in 1 month, you know, when I was traveling.
Yeah, traveling will do it to you when you're watching Netflix and stuff like that. And then you get the nice little letter from AT&T. And did you get a letter from them? I did the one time I went over.
I think so. And I've gotten various text messages. And I was throttled once, and I don't want that to happen again.
Yeah, that's not a fun experience at all. So I was the reason I'm asking about the carrier is in Boston, is LTE available? And if it is, have you tried that out yet?
I ran speed test and it's, well, wow.
So, okay. You got to give me the numbers because a couple of people have, and I'm impressed, but then I saw like iDownload blog or somebody did some things and they were only getting like 9 down on LTE, but everybody else is getting a little bit better than that. So I'm curious to find out where you landed.
36.76.
Whoa.
Yeah.
See, that's faster. Ah, I know people are gonna who listen to the podcast right now are like, you keep repeating yourself, Adam. But I'm so impressed with this. It's like that's better than my cable modem.
Oh, this is like 4 times faster than my cable. You know, and then 20 meg up with the speed test app.
Yeah, that's insane. I'm looking forward to that part of it being able to be able to play around with that. And I said it earlier, hopefully AT&T rolls this out to more places because it sounds pretty good. Now, see, the other thing is that phone was on Verizon, and it's funny because I had read, and it'll be interesting to see if the numbers prove this out, that AT&T had the faster 4G network than Verizon. So Verizon was available in more areas, or LTE. I need to distinguish 4G from LTE. You know, more LTE, but that it wasn't quite as fast in terms of performance in all areas. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, now that these things are out in the wild, what those results show.
Yes.
Anything?
The other thing I tried was I had the Linpack app, mm-hmm. which is just, you know, testing the CPU.
Sure.
Maximum of 593 megaflops on this thing, which is faster than a Cray XMP. I'm just geeking out about this thing. You know how it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how games work and stuff like that. I'm kind of chomping at the bit to put it at its paces. You probably are too. So is there anything else immediately that is just standing out about this phone for you over all the other ones that you've owned?
You know, of course, it's faster. It's, I think, prettier than the 4. I really do. I mean, the back really does look nice. They put the camera above the speaker grill, which gives it more of a vertical line to it.
Yeah, for like FaceTime and stuff like that. Yeah, is it a better FaceTime camera now? Is it the FaceTime HD? Now I'm getting my specs mixed up. I think it's a better one in the... Oh, they added one to the Touch. See, I always have to have my notes in front of me because I start to mix things up.
It was the same camera as the 4S, but
better than the 4.
Yes, and mine's a 4, so better than.
You get an upgrade in your camera as well.
Yes, yes.
Well, sorry.
And one last thing, I saw on Twitter that Chapone has already jailbroken it.
Oh, wow.
I mean, internally, of course. It's not ready for release, but...
But that holds promise.
He posted a picture of a 5 icon screen with Nvidia on it.
Those guys are quick. I mean, the minute they get them, they start hacking away. So that's good news for jailbreakers out there. I've never been a jailbreaker, but I get it. I definitely get it.
The one thing I miss the most about this is not the folder enhancer. I can live with that. Mm-hmm. But there's a tweak called Showcase that when you're about to type lowercase, mm-hmm. it makes the keyboard lowercase letters.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It's got to help speed up typing and stuff like that. Although with the voice stuff, maybe you'll be doing less typing. I'm finding I'm doing less typing and using the voice feature more and more.
That's probably true.
Well, cool. Well, thanks, thanks, Michael. I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us and give us a little listener perspective on this thing. It's always fun to be able to talk to other folks in the community. And thanks for listening.
Sure.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah? How are things out in Utah?
It's everything's burning, and so I can't see our mountains. But other than that, it's pretty good.
You guys are having fires again?
I think it's the fires from Idaho that's just blowing back over.
Yeah.
We got fog everywhere. So,
well, when I was out there for Nerdtacular, you guys had that big trash fire going on.
Yeah, that was always fun. I think like a wind gust came up and kind of blew some of that back into the air too recently.
Oh no. That's a bummer. Well, it's iPhone 5 day, and thanks for answering my tweet. I'm kind of doing virtual line interviews this year, although I haven't found anybody who actually waited in line. So are you going to be my first person, or did you pre-order also?
I pre-ordered it also, but I talked to a couple people who actually waited in line.
Yeah? What'd they say?
Well, I think the one person showed up at like 3, and then she got out at about 8:45. She said it was kind of almost factory-like, where you're in and then you're out and 10 minutes later.
Yeah, that's how they've kind of run it in years past. Did she mention how big the line was?
Let's see. I think she said it went a couple stores down, so that would probably be maybe 100, 150 people at most.
But yeah.
I'm not sure how big the lines actually get here in Utah compared to other places.
Well, they were pretty big from all over the place from what I hear, although I had one person say that in the area he was in, it seemed like there were a lot of phone scalpers in there, in the mix. So I guess some guys were running some sort of racket where they were having people wait in line, get phones, and then go back out. They'd exchange them for payment and then get back in line to go buy more phones. So,
I wonder if they're buying them unlocked or they're just starting new phones.
He said they were buying them as new contracts, and I guess Apple was letting everybody take them out of the store. Like if you were a brand new customer, you could just buy it and activate at home.
Huh.
If you weren't doing a sort of upgrade plan sort of thing. So I don't know. And apparently I was like, well, then how do they do that like payment wise? And he's like, they were giving them gift cards. So they had big stacks of like gift cards for paying for the phone. And then, so they'd get a stack of gift cards, go in, buy the phone, come out with the phone, give it to the scalper guy, and he'd give them another stack of gift cards, and then they'd get back in line.
Yeah. Wow. That's, yeah. That's a lot of thought.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be interesting to see if they actually make any money. They probably will, but it's just, that's a bummer for all those people who aren't getting them, who really wanted them. But you got yours, so... Yeah. Were you at home when it got delivered, or did you have to wait for it? Or,
luckily enough, I work in an office where I can get deliveries there, so I kind of just sent it there. Also, I kind of thought that since it's going through UPS, I had a feeling they'd deliver to businesses first.
Sure.
So that was part of my motivation to send it over there.
So what time did you end up getting it?
I got it about 9:08.
9:08.
Maybe an hour after the stores had opened.
And then, so how did you handle setup? Because, you know, it used to be in the past when people would get them at their office, you'd have to wait to get home to actually set it up with your computer. Some people obviously bring their computer into work, but now we have iCloud and stuff like that. So which route did you go to sort of get it up and running? Yeah.
So I haven't actually had to activate a phone since the iPhone 4 I got, and I had to use my MacBook there. So I had my MacBook there. I had everything backed up that night, and then when I got it, I turned it on. I'm like, well, let's try activating this through the phone. So I actually went through the phone, and within like maybe 2 minutes at most, it was already activated.
Oh, so you could even upgrade right through the phone. You didn't have to connect it to iTunes.
Yeah, that's what really amazed me, because when I logged in, it had my phone number and everything all set to go. I'm like, whoa.
So I guess I haven't read up yet. How does the phone activation work? Like you just when you turn the phone on, or did you have to launch the store app or the iTunes app or music app? Or?
Yeah, you turn the phone on and then you get that gray hash background.
Oh, that's right. They have the whole startup mode now.
And it says, welcome to this. And I think I entered in my Apple ID, and then all of a sudden my phone number came up and said, you're an AT&T customer, and went through all
this. Wow, that's cool. I should have done that. I didn't even think about that. I just immediately grabbed the Lightning cable and plugged it in, ran through the iTunes activation. I didn't even think about doing an over-there. Well, that's awesome. I mean, that's even better. And then do you back up to iCloud at all or not? So was it able to pull down your data? So,
yeah, I backed it up to iCloud, and it just immediately loaded everything up, and then my apps and everything with it in all its folders just started downloading one by one. And luckily enough, I work at a university that has a pretty beefy internet connection, and probably within an hour at most, all my apps were downloaded and good to go.
Oh, wow, cool. Yeah, so you were on the Wi-Fi. You probably could have done it over the LTE, though, too, from what I'm hearing.
Unfortunately, in Salt Lake, it's listed as a LTE place, but it's still coming sometime this year.
Oh, okay.
I'm literally waiting for them to turn on the switch for that now.
You guys don't have full LTE there yet, huh?
No, not for AT&T. I think Verizon has it here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm supposed to have it here, but I haven't seen my phone. I think said 4G when I turned it on. I didn't see anything that says LTE, and I think if it's LTE, it'll actually say LTE. So I don't know if it's San Diego proper. I'm going to have to do some investigating on that. So out of the box, what was your first impressions?
Out of the box, so the first thing I'm like, wow, this is extremely lighter, especially because I went from the 4, and I thought that was really light.
Mm-hmm.
And now on this 4S, I'm to the point where I'm kind of worried that if they take any more heft out of this, I'm the type of person where if there's not that much heft in my hand, I may have the tendency to throw it if I have it in my hand and moving around.
You're one of those hand-waving people?
Yeah. So any lighter than this, I might be super worried that it might go through the window or something.
Well, so what do you think about the material? You know, I got mine, and I've been talking to a couple people, and some were actually concerned that it would be, you know, more slippery with the metal. I figured knowing there'd be a little texture to the metal back that it would be less slippery in your hand. I think you can kind of grip it a little bit better, so you might be okay there, right?
Yeah, it feels grippier to me. On my 4, I actually purposely went out and bought a bumper because I felt like this is going to slip out of my hands. Every time I held onto it, it just felt slippery in my hands. So that's the only reason I actually have a bumper on my iPhone 4.
Yeah.
That, but this one, when I have it in my hands, I feel like I can get a pretty good grip on it.
Yeah. So are you one of those people that has large screen envy, like when you were using your 4, or how do you feel about the new size, not just being taller, not wider?
I'm still kind of adjusting to it because I was never a big fan of a large screen because I carry my phone in my pocket, in my back pocket. I don't really want it to be bulging out or anything. So I was always happy with the 4-inch screen. And now that it's a little wider, the more I use it, the more I don't notice it. Uh-huh. And the only time I actually notice it is when I load up the apps that aren't optimized for the iPhone 5 and it goes into that weird letterboxing.
Right. Now, does that bother you? A lot of people that I've been talking to said, you know, it really doesn't matter too much. Is it noticeable to you?
On most apps, not. The only time I've actually noticed it is, I think, in Camera Plus and on the and that's just because there's just this black gaping, it just a continuous black that goes at the bottom of the screen. But other than that, it really didn't bug me. I kind of had a chuckle the first time I saw it. I'm like, oh look, letterboxing is now a thing again. But no, it really doesn't bother me that much. It's actually some of the apps that are extended, like the Notes app. That actually catches my eye more because you're seeing all this extra space. I'm like, whoa, that was not there before. And it just seems longer to me, which it is. But I think I'll get used to it pretty quickly on that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still adjusting, too. I literally just turned mine on because I had been doing unboxing photos and all that stuff. So it just finished right before our call finished syncing up, and it's ready to go. So I'm anxious to go try it out a little bit more. Back on the hardware side, have you used the new Lightning connector yet? And what do you think of that? If you have,
I think it's pretty slick. But again, the only time I find myself ever using a dock connector or anything these days is usually to charge a device. with the exception of my iPod Nano. Everything else, I have a couple iPod Touches and an iPad, and I don't really hook them up to a computer. It's usually going into a wall wart anywhere, so it wasn't that much of a difference. I do like how it's you can plug it in both sides, because usually when I plug in my phone, it's the end of night. I'm super tired and not really thinking that much, and the last thing I want to do is make sure the plug's going the right direction to my phone.
Right. So you've had it since 9 this morning, you said. So have you had it plugged in at all? Did you charge it up, or has it been running on battery?
I charged it up when I first got it because it was only charged to 60-70%, like how usually Apple does it. And I charged it up, and after that, I just let it run during the day. And now there's maybe 30-40% left on the battery.
How heavily have you been using it?
On and off. I've been using it a lot more in the past couple hours after I got off work. So I can tell the battery life is probably a little less than my iPhone 4, but I just barely realized that I have the contrast turned up a lot higher than what I would normally would have on my iPhone 4.
Oh, sure. Yeah. The screen brightness might make a difference, especially with a little more pixels. It's probably going to eat a little more juice. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how the battery life actually works out in reality. I mean, Apple says it's the same, if not better. I think they're actually advertising it as slightly better, which is surprising for a thinner phone. I did notice mine, I don't know if you noticed this, got pretty warm when I was first setting it up because it was on and, you know, syncing for a while. So
yeah, I had noticed that too when I was charging. It seemed to get a lot warmer, but I would compare the heat to my iPad or the new iPad that I have. They're about the same when you're charging, to me at least.
Yeah. And it was just funny because my immediate thought when I started feeling that, I was like, oh, I wonder if they also went with the metal just for better heat dissipation. You know, since it's thinner, that's going to be more of a concern, and that nice big metal back is going to help pull that heat away and sort of take it out, which means though that people are going to notice it more too, I think, when you're holding it, that it's a little bit hotter. It kind of builds into the system. So what about performance? How's that been for you?
Oh, definitely. I can tell the difference between how much snappier it is now with this. The one test that I actually did to see is because I know that the camera tends to take longer to load if you have a lot of photos in your photo roll.
Sure.
And so I have about 800 photos in my photo roll right now.
Oh, wow.
And it would take forever on the 4. And I was like, well, before I clean this up and make it snappier, I kind of use that as my benchmark, and the camera app loads a lot faster for me when I pull it up on the 5 instead of the 4.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody else, and they were mentioning that a guy who's a photographer earlier, and he said that was one of the first things he tested too. And just the ability to pull it out and quickly get to the camera app is going to be really nice, I think, for a lot of people. Trying to think one thing I haven't asked a lot of people about. Have you tried the new ear pods?
I have. That was because I'm around where I work, and a lot of my friends, they know that I am into a lot of headphones. Like, the headphones I use normally are the sculpted ear ones, the ones where you can get a custom mold for your ears.
Oh, yeah. So you're all about fit, so you'd be a good person to ask about this.
I tried them, and they were comfortable for probably the first hour or so to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it started kind of, it wasn't too discomforting to the point where I'd want to take them out, but I could still kind of feel them, and like, I don't know, maybe it's just my ears are weirdly shaped, or I don't know, but I've been hearing from a lot of other people too that it kind of started hurting after a while also.
Well, I guess that's better than the old ones, which would start hurting in about the first 30 seconds. So
yeah, but I can tell you, audio quality wise, those ear pods are definitely better than what the old ones came in. But
yeah, which is amazing to me because, you know, iFixit did their teardown, and it's not like they're not like multiple drivers, or I guess they're using paper cones, this hybrid paper sort of polymer cone thing. But they looked pretty straightforward in the teardown.
Yeah, I would probably compare them to any other $30 headphones that you can get now. So if people are looking for something and can actually wear them for longer than an hour, I'd say they're worth it for $30, but there are a little bit more comfortable ones out there at that price range, though.
True. Yeah. But for the stuff you get free in the box, you know, it sounded like they're they're much improved, and that's always a good thing.
These, I would say, if you know you're in a bind, I would use them. I know a lot of other devices that come with headphones. I almost instantly throw them into this box of headphones I will never touch.
Just go right in the trash, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Any other things that you noticed right off the bat, or just were impressed about with the new device?
What I thought was funny first thing I did was launch App Store, because I was like, oh, I need to update all these apps. And I don't know if this is new in iOS 6 or not. It asked me to download things like Find My iPhone and iTunes Use, stuff that I never downloaded before. And then when I saw them download, I love this how they have that new banner just over the icons of these any of the apps that you just downloaded and haven't launched yet.
Oh, yeah, that new little ribbon in the corner. Yeah, it's a nice little touch that is part of iOS 6. Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I remember the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, because I think you tweeted about this, and this is... started to come up. Scratches. You had a couple little nicks on yours, unfortunately, out of the box, it sounded
like. Yeah, so when I pull it out of the box, you can't really see them unless you look really close, but it looks on the aluminum frame, especially on that bezel where the shiny part is.
That camphored edge that they call it.
Yeah, that camphored edge. I can see, literally, there are little just nicks all across it on the screen side right there. And then around my headphone jack, too, I don't know what they did, but it looks like it wasn't a clean cut. There's like a piece of metal shard that's actually on the edge of my headphone jack. And I guess whatever seal they put into the lightning connector, I can still see some adhesive or something around it right there. The one thing is I'm probably going to have to take it into an Apple store and see what's going on, because it looks like it was just kind of... Have you seen like just really bad paint jobs and the paint's just chipping in areas?
Yeah.
Right there. Because I talked to one of my coworkers who actually got a white one.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't see any of that on the silver edge on this. But on the black one, it's pretty noticeable if you just hold it up and look at it.
Yeah, I wonder if it's just something happened in manufacturing. I mean, they're making these things so fast and furious, you have to wonder. I kind of looked mine over. I didn't look really closely yet, but it seems pretty good. I was taking some pretty detailed pictures, and I was just going through those. So I think it seems okay. What I'm hearing is people are actually intentionally seeing if it'll scratch, and apparently it does. But I'm totally not a case guy, so I don't really worry about it too much. I just figure wear and tear, it's a phone, you know?
Yeah, especially with this phone right here, with the iPhone 4, I was like, I don't want a huge case on it, but I kind of want a case on it. But the more I look at the 5 right here, it's like, this was designed to be not in a case and to be shown. So,
But you want to put your own nicks and scuffs and scratches on it. You don't want somebody else's.
Yeah, that's my only gripe about it, is that if I put them on there, I don't mind. But if they came pre-nicked and scratched, that's a little annoying to me.
Yeah. You think you're going to try and run into the Apple store right away, or are you going to wait for things to calm down for a little bit?
I might wait for things to calm down right now, because I probably could go in and like...
This weekend's going to be a little nuts, I think.
Yeah. But that's honestly my only gripe about the iPhone 5 right now. Everything else is what I expected and what I really wanted from a new phone.
Very cool. Very cool. So you want to tell anybody what you're up to these days? I know that you do a podcast, or you do video things for a while. I know that, right?
So my friend and I are actually starting a Kickstarter podcast that we're covering different Kickstarter projects. And
oh,
everything.
Cool.
If people want to check it out, they can go to kickcast.net. We're almost out of beta right now, just getting a few bugs out of the system before we actually go and make final episodes. But if people want to sign up and check that out, and I'm pretty sure the iTunes link should be coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, cool. And I'm going to put a plug in for next year's Nerdtacular, you know, that Frog Pants Studio Scott Johnson puts on in Utah there. If you're anywhere near that area in the summer, I think he did it June, was it? Was that June?
Yeah, around June. And he's actually scouting out a new location, so it's going to be up in Park City, which is about 45 minutes away from Salt Lake, but it's beautiful up there, especially in the summer. And it's usually known as a ski town,
right?
But in the summer, it's great for hiking and everything, and it will be a nice centralized location for everybody to be.
Very cool. So I encourage people to go out there because we met there. I mean, that's how I know you now. So.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
If people think it's kind of weird, but that's probably one of the only places I can go, start a conversation with a random stranger there, and you know, I know that we'll get along pretty well.
Yeah, bunch of nerds hanging out. It's awesome. All right, well, cool, Kevin. Thanks a lot for sharing your time with us.
Thanks for having me on the show.
So there you go. Some thoughts and observations on iPhone launch day from members of the community. And the conversation definitely does not end here. We want to hear what you have to say, what you think about the iPhone 5, what you think about these new devices, whether or not you're upgrading, whether or not you're happy with your carrier plan. I mean, the MacCast is all about the community, and it's your place to share your opinion and what you think. And I definitely welcome that. I'd love audio comments from you if you want to send those along to maccast@gmail.com. We'll try and keep this conversation going. And then we've got to get ready for the next big thing. You know, it's expected Apple will have another announcement coming up here in October. Very likely the much anticipated and rumored iPad mini. So we have that to look forward to. Lots of great stuff going on. It's they're sort of making a big push toward the end of the year, I think, over at Apple. And stock price keeps going up. There's some amazing things to come. And we already have some pretty amazing things to play around with. So it was a great weekend. I'm loving my new device. Few issues, as you can hear in there, and a couple little concerns. But we'll see where it goes from here. And we'll try and share tips and tricks and do all that other stuff next time. But I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Before I leave you, I do want to take a quick moment and thank all of my show sponsors, Circus Ponies, makers of Notebook, and iTrash. You can check out their software, get more information and details over at circusponies.com. Smile, check out Text Expander, PDF Pen, Disc Label, Text Expander Touch, and PDF Pen for the iPad. Great software over at smilesoftware.com. Gazelle, you know, if you want to buy a new device and you need a little bit of cash, you can sell that old iPhone, that old iPod. You can get an offer over at gazelle.com. Great service, and they make it quick and easy. And, you know, get protection for your new device. You don't want to have to worry about drops or spills or any of that sort of stuff. And SquareTrade can get you all covered on that. Check out squaretrade.com/MacCast for some great warranty coverage on your new device. And a big thank you to all of my sponsors for their support of the MacCast. Huge thank you to you. And hey, as part of the whole community thing, there is a great community Mac conference that happens every year in Petaluma called the Mac Computer Expo. And I'm going to be speaking there once again. It's coming up on October 6th. You can get information and details over at maccomputerexpo.com. And tickets to this thing are like $10. So it's a steal if you're anywhere in the area. It's a lot of fun. I encourage you to come out. Just hang out. They do a bunch of great topics. And there's a bunch of rooms where people are going to be speaking on different things related to Macs and iOS devices. And there's a little show floor where you can get information about products. A bunch of vendors come in. Get all the details over at maccomputerexpo.com. And hey, it's in Petaluma. So if you're coming into the area, you can even pop over to the Twit Brick House and say hi to Leo Laporte, who's over there. Great town. And just to come to, they've got some great microbrews in there. Of course, it's very close to the wine country. So you could even make a whole trip of it if you're so inclined. And I'd love to see you there. So if you do come out, make sure you pop over and say hi. I'd love to meet you, and it's just a lot of fun, and I do it every year. So please check it out, maccomputerexpo.com. And, you know, if you have any feedback for me, any comments, any questions, anything you'd like to hear covered on a future episode of the MacCast, please send your emails and your audio comments along to maccast@gmail.com. You can also call in on the listener hotline. That's at 281-622-4269. 281-MAC-IM-9. You can leave voicemail there. You can also leave voicemail on Skype. The Skype address is the MacCast. And you can check out the MacCast website. There you'll find show notes with links to everything that I talked about on this or any other episode of the MacCast. And that's at maccast.com. Be sure to check out the forum while you're there. You can also follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MacCast. And be sure to check out the Facebook page. Like I said, I have my unboxing videos of the iPhone 5, also a bunch of photos up there. I'm also just trying to post more cool things that I find here and there, especially videos and different images and links to different articles and stuff like that that I like. So I'm trying to turn that more into a community, a place where I can kind of share some of the things that I discover related to Mac and Apple stuff. So be sure to check out the Facebook page over at facebook.com/TheMacCast. And I think that's going to do it for today. Until next time, I will talk to you all again real soon.